It's empty, right?
I guess it's been, I think maybe some little restaurants tried something very short. Okay, right, it's seven, here we go, and Brian.
Full house at seven, I love it.
All right. Call this meeting to order of the Houghton Community Council. Can we have roll call, please?
Neil Black.
Here.
Kelly Curtis.
Here.
Brian Gothrop.
Here.
Bill Goggins.
Here.
John Kapler.
Here.
Betsy Pringle.
Here.
Rick Whitney.
Here. So tonight, we will be reviewing the Bridal Trails Neighborhood Plan update and taking final action on the geologically hazardous areas ordinance. Plus, we've got reading and approval of the minutes and task force reports and administrative reports and opportunities for the audience to speak to us. So with that, and I'll make note that we kind of turned around our normal format. We usually have the approval of the minutes right at the beginning, and I guess you did that for a reason, Adam. It doesn't matter to me either way it works.
Yeah, we made them more consistent with Planning Commission. If you guys want it the other way, I'm happy to change it back.
Doesn't matter to you guys. I think it's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. So with that, we have an opportunity for the audience to address us. Is there anybody who would care to speak? Going once, going twice. Okay, so let's get into the Bridal Trails Neighborhood Plan update. Janice.
Okay, good evening. Janice Coogan with the Kirkland Planning Department. And tonight we'd like to go over the first draft of the Bridal Trails Neighborhood Plan and describe the differences between the existing and proposed plan, and the land use rezone requests and amendments that we've received in the Bridal Trails area, and like to get your feedback and initial comments on the first draft so we can proceed with the second draft of the neighborhood plan. And as we've described in the staff memo, since January, we've been busy with the working group meetings and public outreach activities to engage the residents and businesses in the neighborhood plan update process. We have had several briefings with different boards and commissions. And so we'd like to just briefly go over a few of the key changes. We have a new vision statement for the neighborhood plan for Bridal Trails area, and it's intended to be 20 years out for what Bridal Trails will be like in 20 years. There's a new history section. There wasn't one before. And policies promote preserving the equestrian uses in the single-family zones. The new housing policies promote accessory dwelling units in single-family areas, cottages, triplexes, and duplexes while protecting the neighborhood. And that there are several policies in there to implement with the intent of implementing the housing strategy plan that was adopted by City Council. Those zoning code amendments, implementing those policies, we will be working on, and we will bring those to you as soon as we can. We're researching other cities, what they're doing, and like I said, we'll come back with proposed actual code amendment language for you to review. Tech City Bowl Shopping Center policy was revised. There was an existing one in the existing plan, but it revised to encourage mixed uses, open space, allow increased building height, and yet to be determined, and support high-quality retail uses. They have both the shopping center and the Tech City Bowl property owner have jointly submitted a request for code amendments that, you know, we've described in your packet. The Houghton Transfer Station and Taylor Fields, there's a policy for park and recreation uses, increased pedestrian and bicycle connections with a greenway to the north that's planned, and also the Bridal Trail State Park and the East Side Powerline Trail. There's a policy to improve Snyder's Corner Park at some point when a master plan is process is initiated, but there's policies to encourage interim uses there until the master plan is able to be prepared. Policies protect natural areas, promote family, kid-friendly parks, and the urban design section has been deleted, and with the key concepts for urban design integrated elsewhere in the plan. So now I'll just go over the two land use change requests that have been submitted. They are outside the Houghton jurisdiction, but we wanted to let you know about them because they're in the Bridal Trails neighborhood. So here's the Tech City Bowl. In your packet, there's a description there of the proposal to increase the height from 30 feet to 65 feet plus to allow for adding housing to the property and mixed use. Right now, the property is zoned BCX, which allows 30 feet in height. It's the older zoning. It does allow for housing there and mixed use there, but in order to redevelop the property in the future, and there's no plans right now, but in the future, they would like the increase in height to provide the amenities, increased open space, and be able to redevelop the property. So that's yet to be determined. We will bring back to you a proposed code amendment language there, how that would all work. And also, they would be required to go through design review, so that would be new. So, yes.
Just from our experience at the park and ride, we allowed residential on the ground floor as an afterthought, and it seems like it really has crowded out the retail. There is no commercial except for one space. Nobody knows what that business is.
Yeah.
But it's certainly not residential. It's certainly not commercial that is for the people that live there. And
yes.
And that's kind of what we had envisioned. So I would just say I'd tread carefully on that, allowing residential on the ground floor if you want it to stay a vibrant commercial center.
Yes.
I was curious, though, in his idea of residential amenities on the rooftop, because I'm in favor of that.
Yes.
So.
Well, that's a really good point. That's something that we'll be looking at. Should there be a percentage of ground floor retail or commercial use like we do in the other business districts? What should that be? What percentage should that be? Should it be based on gross ground floor, gross floor area, or subject property? So, yeah, I wrote down your comment to bring back options there for that. So let's see here. And then we also received a request from Daniel Weiss to rezone. He has one of the properties there encircled by red that's zoned RSX 35, minimum lot size, 35,000 square feet in that zone. And his request is to, suggests that the city look at rezoning those three parcels to move the RSX 7.2 zoning line down. His reasons are that those parcels are not part of the Silver Spurs plat. To the south, and also that the access, they do not access from Northeast 60th like the other Silver Spurs residents do. They access it off of Northeast 65th Street, and that allowing the RSX 7.2 zone, minimum lot size 7,200 square feet, would allow for more density and more lower cost housing. So these two requests we will be studying along with the other land use change requests in Rose Hill, and we'll be discussing these with the Planning Commission on Thursday. We have not started studying these areas at all to look at different options. So we are not ready to make a recommendation on any of these. So tonight we're looking for your input on the draft plan. Are there issues or policies not included in the neighborhood plan that you'd like to see in the second draft? And we'd like to know if you agree with the general direction of the plan policies. Okay. So,
thanks, Janice.
You're welcome.
Why don't we just each take one shot at whatever comments you have, any questions you have, as far as, you know, anything in the plan that you either disagree with or think that we're not in the right direction. Brian, you want to kick us off?
I didn't have any issues. A lot of the stuff, like you mentioned, is just north of our jurisdiction also, so.
East.
Or east, I'm
yeah.
sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
From the map I was looking at, I'm sorry.
North.
East, yes.
Yeah. Right, the most controversial areas are
right at the edge of Ben Franklin there.
Right. Okay. Bill?
Yeah, it looks like a very good first draft. I don't have any issues with anything that's in there. It looks pretty solid to me.
Cal?
I have a couple questions. It says on page 6, under new housing policies, the fourth bullet, it says, encourage incorporating ADUs into new single-family homes and incentivizing multi-unit or clustered housing types. So this is talking specifically about new development, and I'm wondering if you're trying to prevent ADUs in existing residential.
No, we are not. That is, we made a slight edit for the neighborhood plan for the Planning Commission packet. We realized that we shouldn't be so specific as new single family.
Because I noticed it a couple of places, and yeah, so you're fixing that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then we say affordable housing. I'm on page 7 on bullet number 1, and you did just say that you're going to be looking at this more. I just personally want to stress, and again, we don't have jurisdiction, but I think it would be really nice to put a percentage of affordable housing in there, and I did notice in their letter that they suggested 20% affordable housing, which I'm all for. So
we usually, whenever there is an increase in height in a zoning district, we require that affordable housing percentage.
As 10%. A percentage, not just affordable housing, but we specify what that percentage should be.
Over four units, it's 10% of the units need to be affordable.
Okay. Okay. I'm on page 9. 1, 2, 3, third paragraph down, we're talking about walking to shops. And you've got an attachment in here that shows the walking paths specifically in bridle trails. I'm curious how that walking relates to South Rose Hill, because my mother-in-law lives in South Rose Hill and she cannot walk to bridle trails. So are we integrating those walking routes?
Yes, okay. Where possible. If you would like, I can send you a map of the South Rose Hill.
That'd be great. Thank
walking
you.
Walking paths. And we will be updating those maps to reflect the new greenway that's planned in South and North Rose Hill, so it'll show a connection between those. But we can send that to you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And then my last question. I just don't understand this sentence. This area, and it's the next paragraph down on page 9, the last sentence in the 1, 2, 3, 4th paragraph. This area has been activated with transit accessible housing designed to accommodate population growth without associated traffic. What does that mean?
There were this is intended to state the vision for what the future will be like. And we, sure, there will be additional traffic. There's no doubt about that. But the idea is to mitigate that traffic. So perhaps it could be written differently to encourage, the idea is to encourage transit accessibility to housing. So we could change that.
Look at that again. Mm-hmm. All right, thank you.
You're going to piggyback on that before we move on, and that is in the attachment four recommendations from the working group.
Mm-hmm.
They suggested adding the words without large increases in associated yes. traffic, which is a dramatic change, and that seems excessive to me. So I wouldn't support large increases, but you've got to expect some increases. So yes. I don't know. Large seems so wide open, just personally. Yeah. So, okay.
It's so vague, right?
Yeah, it's so vague, and it's so it pretty much just leaves. It doesn't really accomplish anything. So, just thought I'd break that since you just made that point. Betsy, your turn.
Just again, just looking at what we learned going through our Houghton neighborhood plan. You've got four corners there. One is the Bridal Trails Shopping Center. One yes. is the park. And then there's those other two corners that seem mm-hmm. very quiet right now. But are they going to look across the street and go, he's going up to five stories, I'm going up to five stories? I mean, have you had any?
No, we haven't had any conversation with those property owners.
But
we are definitely we will be looking at the character, how their request fits in with the character of the other of the surrounding neighborhood and the commercial
because that
areas.
That will change everything if all of a sudden you have all three corners, as they say, activated.
Yes.
It becomes a very different challenge.
Yeah, we have not heard from them.
Okay,
but good
otherwise
point.
I think you're on the you're on the right track. I mean, it sounds like they're trying to keep the character that they have and accommodate growth, and I think everyone knew that that shopping center was going to redevelop. It's a little surprise that they want high-end retail when they just put the grocery outlet in.
Yeah, I think there's been a lot of concern from the neighborhood about the tenant
I think so.
Moving in, but hopefully that will change when they move in.
There we go. No. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, if I could just draw your attention to that issue. I mean, that's a really important issue that we sort of struggled with in doing this plan. There's these two tensions, right? There's one, on one side, there's this demand and desire for high-quality retail, which would tend to require a critical mass of people who live on or near the site to support it. And then on the other hand, there's skepticism that high density is really the way to go in this part of town. So I think our challenge, your challenge and our challenge on the staff level is sort of reconciling those two competing interests. We need some degree of density to support high-quality retail, but it needs to be, as Janice was talking about, and Betsy, as you sort of brought up, it needs to be designed well with good step-backs and setbacks from the surrounding single-family residential neighborhoods to make it work in the neighborhood. So if there's any guidance that you can give us as we move through the process on that issue, that would be really fantastic.
Oh, we have ideas.
I thought so.
Neil.
I have one question related to to Betsy's topic. Is one of those corners Redmond jurisdiction?
Yes.
The northeast corner?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's what I thought. So one of those four corners is actually outside the city.
Yeah, so but it's got to be aware of what's
Let's create a problem for Redmond.
Yeah.
Okay.
Strike that from the record.
Yeah, I kid. That was a joke. Okay. I don't have a lot to comment on, except for one area which is of keen interest to me. The transit center and the where Taylor Fields are now, and opportunities to do something exciting for both. Really, it would be something that would be really exciting for the entire city of Kirkland if it were something as, you know, robust as an off-leash dog park along with an aquatic center, walking paths, obviously, you know, subject to remediation, which I know is already part of the plan. I saw that in the written materials. But I noticed in policy 24, and I'm looking at page 23 of our packet, that's where the guiding principles for redevelopment of the King County Transfer Station facility, if it is closed. So that's curious. Is it, you know, is this policy in place only if the transfer facility closes? There we include sports fields, walking trails, a dog park, and an aquatic center. Now, one thing I noted as I was reading the materials is the members of the working group who provided comments on the draft plan, Lynn Erkman and Rodney Rutherford, they made a comment about the aquatic center, or at least one of them did, stating that they did not think that an aquatic center was appropriate for that site. I'm wondering if we have any... does the city staff have any insight into the reasons that at least a couple of members of the working group felt that aquatic center was not appropriate for that site? Is that a serious neighborhood? Is there a serious neighborhood related to that question? Is there a serious neighborhood concern about using that site for higher volume recreational uses?
As far as I think that was their personal opinion about the aquatic center, and I believe it has been looked at for an aquatic center, and it still has the possibility for that. The future of that, of the transfer station, or what the next use is for that, what happens next, is yet to be determined.
Okay.
Based on the status of the King County Solid Waste comprehensive plan that's going on, it's really a regional issue. City Council has... stated that they would like to see the transfer station closed, but what happens with the rest of the property, that's yet to be determined, and there would be a whole nother public process to evaluate that. I think it's a little too soon for us to write something specific in there about the future use. That's why there are just some mentions of potential uses, and that the public would certainly be engaged in any future use of that property. And I'm sure many of you are familiar with the status of that project or that property, I would guess. You've had presentations by John McGilvery with our Solid Waste Division?
It's been a while.
Yeah,
probably prior to my time on the council, if that makes a difference.
Yeah.
Not to speechify or anything, that's part of the Houghton Community Council jurisdiction. Just seems like it'd be exciting to do something, to be able to somehow facilitate something exciting for the whole Houghton community and the Bridal Trails community and all of Kirkland, really, at a location in the Houghton community neighborhood.
Yeah.
Or jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. John?
Great. Thanks. I want to start mine, Janice, on kind of understanding what the direction City Council approved in terms of the housing strategies. And page 6 of 6, the fourth bullet down. Same comment on incentivizing, the very last sentence it talks about, and incentivizing multi-unit or clustered housing. So it's just a simple question. Are we rezoning to get that, or are we adding to the zone and allowing that to happen in the zone?
That's yet to be determined.
Okay, so we just don't know.
We don't know. All We're looking at different strategies to implement the housing strategy plan. If you would like, we can send you a link to that. That was adopted by City Council, and we're looking at what other cities are doing to make ADUs easier to build. The middle income, housing, options. Adam, do you want to add any more to that?
No, I think, I mean, that's a good summary. I think we're hitting the housing issue really hard. I think, as you can see from the plan, right, it was a, we have a city council directive. They passed a resolution several weeks ago requiring every neighborhood plan to incorporate opportunities for transit-oriented development, affordable housing, and as Janice mentioned, sort of middle-income housing as well. So we're exploring the affordable housing issue on two ends. One is, where appropriate, like in the Bridal Trail Shopping Center, requiring some degree of true affordable housing that's income regulated. But we're also trying to incentivize this sort of missing middle housing that's built by the market, you know, in the marketplace, but that doesn't require any public subsidies. And the concepts that we're exploring so far are loosening up existing rules related to things like developing triplexes, duplexes, cottages, sort of the low-scale family-style housing in these neighborhoods to encourage more of it. So we might play with parking requirements, at floor area ratio requirements, things like that to incentivize that type of housing, again, without any public dollars. And we're trying to do so, or we're looking at doing so in within a close vicinity to shopping centers and transit stops. We don't necessarily want to encourage higher density housing, even if it's moderately higher density housing, maybe throughout the entire neighborhoods, especially where it would interfere with equestrian uses and bridal trails, but we're trying to do so in places that are smarter to do so, where people can maybe not take as many car trips and use a bus or get on their bike for some of their trips. So that those are, as Janice mentioned, we're looking at best practices in other cities. A lot of cities are dealing with these same issues. Olympia, Tacoma, Bellingham, a lot of other cities in Western Washington are looking at ways to, you know, flex the regulations to create more of this housing. So we're looking at those other cities for best practices, and we're hoping to pull in some of those regulations when we actually do the zoning code amendments.
Okay.
Before, so I just want to follow up on that, on this particular point, yeah. John, because on page 4, the last point, bullet point, it says City Council has provided a desired outcome for the neighborhood planning process for every neighborhood, including allowing duplexes, triplexes on corner lots. Is that supposed to be on all corner lots, or just, like you said, in proximity to transit, yeah, retail, et cetera?
The city, perfect. Yeah. Okay. The city council resolution was a lot more general than that. It simply requires neighborhood plans to address these opportunities somehow. It doesn't even specify duplexes or triplexes or any real housing type. It does call out ADUs as a special area of focus, but it doesn't prescribe anything.
Okay. That's all I wanted to clarify. Go ahead, John.
Specifically in response to all of that, it's the word multi-unit is the one that concerns me the most. Clustered housing is a specific how you put together land use to build something new. Multi-unit could be take down a small single-family house and put a multi-unit house in there. And so my concern as an architect that really deals in single-family product, I think the creation of neighborhoods is a pretty unique thing, and I'm really concerned about the idea of going into a single-family neighborhood and allowing multi-unit housing scattered throughout the single-family neighborhood. I'm not opposed to the multi-unit housing. That's not it at all. It's where exactly is it located. And even with the on page 4 of the packet where the council talks about specific direction of on corner lots, I think it really should be more specific as to where those corner lots are, adjacent to multifamily zones, adjacent to parks, adjacent to schools, adjacent to bigger building spaces, so it doesn't infiltrate into the neighborhood and how you use a single family house for a single family neighborhood. And I'm most concerned about the group homes. I've seen what that's done in Bellevue. It's just been horrific in the single-family neighborhoods to allow the group homes. And so this is something I'm really concerned about, which is why I ask. And I guess to get a little bit more information about it, Janet, so I could opine later. I mean, I know this is a first draft and that sort of thing. I just think it needs to be very, very careful, because once a single-family neighborhood's wrecked, you can't unwreck it. You just can't unwreck it. Okay? So that's my comment on that page. Vision statement. That's good. That's it's talked about. So I'm on page 4 or 12 of the packet under residential. And so the first comment I had overall is I see what the city council's adopted, the housing strategy. I see what they discussed on page 4 of this packet. But has there been anything specific about a specific neighborhood as to what they would like to see, simply as a comment to try and avoid what we had to deal with about the city council wanting some very specific things when we redid the Houghton Center that didn't really come up until the very last minute? I just want to pound. I want to make sure the city council's looking at this, that they're inserting their desires on mix, on affordability, on unit goals, that sort of thing, so it doesn't surprise the neighborhood when the city council talks about this in chamber after the neighborhood's done all their hard work. Okay? So that's a comment there. I'm looking at policy BT1, and I'm confused about the sentence. Well, it says, while accommodating compact new housing opportunities. So I think as we codify things, we need to be really careful, or even in setting goals, as to what exactly we mean. I could read this, accommodate compact new housing opportunities. Oh, we want micro units because that's a new housing opportunity. Or we want to accommodate compact new housing opportunities as in ADUs. So it's which emphasis is the word, where does new fit? And so I think if we clean that up, I don't know what the neighborhood said. I don't know what they're talking about, but I could read this two ways. We want compact housing units like micro units in the cluster housing, or we want new housing opportunities that are compact like an ADU. So I just think that should be cleaned up, however the neighborhood's talked about it.
Yeah, and just to be clear, that what we heard from the neighborhood is much more triplexes, duplexes, cottages, ADUs than micro units. So, okay. But we can, it's a good comment.
I think I've got the same question in policy BTU or BT2, where it talks about other compact housing types. I think maybe that somehow, instead of just using the word compact housing, and I'm going to come back to that a little later here, Janet, but when we identify a term that we're commonly using today, when we look back at this plan in 20 years, that was in vogue today, and it might be completely different later. So maybe don't use code speak, but use regular speak. And I'm going to jump down to BT5, to really bring home that point, is where it talks about incentivizing the missing middle housing. Well, that's kind of an in vogue thing today. Yeah. Probably is not going to mean diddly squat in 20 years. Or might mean something really different. So I would really try and not use terminology like that. Although I know exactly what you're talking about, and I'm 100% on board with this, because I have this whole philosophy that I'm not going to get into that now. I want to jump back up to BT4. And it talks about incorporating accessory dwelling units into all new development in single-family neighborhoods. And I had a question about existing, because we allow ADUs, and if we want to incentivize them, and I think that is one way, that's one real way, that we can meet the goals of densification, and we can meet the overall goals of housing affordability, where you have some people that want to stay in their home, and this might be a way to subsidize their tax payments. That's a housing affordability. But that's not the kind of housing affordability that we talk about when everybody uses the catch term housing affordability, because really what they mean is housing subsidized housing. But if we talk about affordable housing, I think the dwelling units is a way that people could figure out a way to drive extra income so they could stay in their house. It's true housing affordability. And so I think pounding on that a little bit more might be nice, whether it's inside an existing home, whether it's detached, And then all the regulations that you'd mentioned, Janice, in the beginning about relaxing, there are several of those in chapter 115. They're in the fire code about distance and separation, about what triggers sprinklers, which really ruins the affordability aspect of it. You know, not to mention the other things like, you know, can the city give subsidized loans to people to build one that's been bantered around, things like that. So I think that could really be expanded upon in your discussions with neighbors about how to do that. And I don't think that wrecks a single family neighborhood. So I think that's good. Okay. Let me just jump to commercial real quick. Public facilities, let's do that last. Let's talk about the commercial on page 5 of 13. I really had a question, just like we did with our two neighborhoods and when we looked at our Houghton Center plan. When we look at this neighborhood, what's Redmond doing? Have we reached out? Have we asked? What they talked about changing their zone? Have we asked? Is it brought up in the meetings?
You mean the property across the street?
Affirmative. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. That's in the Redmond, City
yeah,
Redmond.
We certainly can.
I think that would be prudent. I really do. Just as a discussion with the neighbors, as this is what Redmond's long-term plans are, if it's they have a long-term plan or they don't and they're thinking about it and we have an opportunity to set the bar. I think it should be discussed.
We've reached out to the other neighbor, Bellevue and Redmond, and we just got an email from a Redmond planner today, so we can certainly reach out to them.
Next, I want to jump to, if we look at any of the maps, I'm just going to go to map. Oh, by the way, back on my housing comments that I made on page 4 of 12, if you cross-pollinate that to what the group wrote back on page 4 of 32, everything I said didn't contradict any of their comments, except on page 4 of 32. They redlined out the whole thing about accessory dwelling units, but in their comments they didn't talk about accessory dwelling units. They just redlined it out because it was grouped together with the horse acre stuff. Yeah. So sure, because of that, I might suggest you separate them.
Yeah.
Separate the horse acre stuff from the ADU stuff so it's not, you know, it's not they're not polluted in the same sentence and they're not confusing. So I want to look at the maps. If we just look at a map on page, let's jump to page 12 of 20 or 13 of 21. Any of those maps, the dump area has what appears to be a platted neighborhood. It's got a park designation and a public facility designation, but it's gridded out, and I wonder what drove that decision.
Yeah, it's been like that as far as I know for many years. I don't know the history there.
Is this the leftover platting, the underlying platting of the tax part? Okay,
yes.
Good enough. Okay, cool. Got it. The last thing I had on page 15 of 23, the public facilities. Well, before that, I just want to pound on what everybody made about the comments about the housing to make sure that we've got on the commercial real honest to goodness public commercial spaces that can serve the neighborhood, and it doesn't just end up a whole housing thing. I think that would be a shame. Public facilities, page 15 of 23. I think that the transfer station and the Taylor Fields and all that is kitty corner and kind of connected to the park and ride. And I think there's a real opportunity, especially because of what is happening with Sound Transit, ST3, again, where I think the city of Kirkland needs to do more in lobbying with the Sound Transit Board to get more services for the amount of money Kirkland's paying into Sound Transit, to simply have one stop up at Totem Lake is horrible. I think that's horrible. We should get better service for what we're paying. And I think the possibility of something at this park and ride makes sense, especially since there's an area for public facilities, maybe they don't want a swimming pool, but there's some other park facilities there that would be a great opportunity for that park and ride to have a connection, because it's their kitty corner they touch right there, to have a connection into that area. So where you've got a massive park and ride facility where people can park and utilize a facility. It's right off the freeway. And I think that would be great to do that, and I think the city council should lobby Sound Transit to get some money from them to do something there.
So are you talking about a pedestrian connection?
Exactly, pedestrian connection. Yeah. I should have used the right term. Thank you, Janice.
Well, I wasn't sure. Okay.
That's it?
Good comments. Thank you.
Excellent, John. I don't have a lot to add. I kind of focused on the comments from the working group and tend to concur with most of what they said. I thought they made good points for the most part. I think you're going to, good luck on the height issue. You're going to have another HENC battle, it seems like, going on there. And I don't think we're going to be deciding that one for you. And so other than that, I guess the only thing I really disagreed with them is that they... This is on the comments on 37, page 9, 37, of the, at the very back, attachment 4. And they're where they were talking about the transfer station. And again, I don't want to create any undue obstacles. I want to keep it as open as possible. And when they say, somebody commented, keep the existing trees, and somebody else says, I agree with the aquatic center, you know, let's not put up, you know, some preconditions to what the possibilities there. So that's the only thing that I really disagree with for the most part with what they were saying. And I totally agree with what John said about the ADUs and the issue with the paddocks. Makes sense, you know, that shouldn't be the determining factor in whether you allow smaller housing to be added. ADUs make total sense regardless of whether or not it's a horse house or not. So, and that would be my input. Anybody else have anything else to add from the comments? Okay. So that's our two bits.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Can I ask one more thing, Janice?
Yes.
I apologize. I meant to call you about this. I could not access the project webpage that's supposed to give comment the participants' responses. Oh. I looked everywhere. There was a PDF.
Okay.
And when you try to click on the PDF, it's a PDF, so you don't get the connection.
Okay.
So
we can send that out.
Yeah.
And I'll double check the link in the report. It is on the City of Kirkland webpage. You can Google, you can search for neighborhood planning, and it's a sub page of the planning department. And then there's a specific web page for the neighborhood plan update. So there's Bridal Trails, and as you know, Bridal Trails is being, we're using the same process with North Rose Hill and South Rose Hill. But I can send out the link to you all again.
Oh, I checked all those links, but it's the project webpage specifically.
Yeah.
That one that supposedly had the participants' responses, that's what I was looking for. And that one is the only link that I couldn't access.
Okay. So. All right. Well, we can send that out again.
Thank you.
Sorry. Apologize for that.
No worries.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me make myself note.
We do have, Neil's got one last.
Oh, okay.
Well, John was doing such a great job, I didn't want to interrupt his flow.
Yeah.
Because he has so much momentum going. But I could tell you how a lawyer type would interpret John's terminology in policy one on page 4 of 12. So... without any commas and compact new housing opportunities, that's going to be interpreted as a compact new housing opportunity. So whatever a compact new housing opportunity, that's how a lawyer reads that. So if we wanted to read new, comma, compact housing opportunities, we need to reverse new and compact, and we need to put a comma between those. Because then it's the adjectives new and compact both modify housing opportunities.
Okay.
And then what is compact?
And then what is compact?
And then what is compact?
Yeah, it's a mid-sized.
But I do notice that we use We use compact housing opportunities elsewhere as a term, and to John's point, we may want to use that term, we may not want to use that term, we may want to find a different term, but since we do currently, in the current draft, we're using the concept compact housing opportunities, I say ride that horse, and then if you're trying to describe new such opportunities, you need to use new, compact housing opportunities.
Thank you. Like the idea of actually defining compact.
Or rather,
you know, maybe there could be the list, the ADU, the cottage, you know, the tribe. Maybe that just becomes a term as different from the micro.
Yeah. And I'm sorry to correct what I said. If you want it to be a new compact housing opportunity, then it's new without a comma, compact housing opportunity. Sorry. Yes. That's Oxford.
Yes.
All right.
I got to bring my training to bear in some way, shape, or form.
I think Kelly, the housing strategy is kind of defined.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's really already done in the housing strategy.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
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 So we'll be seeing you again.
Yes. Yeah, so between now, so we will start analyzing all of the rezone and code amendment requests, and taking in your comments and the Planning Commission comments for the next draft and the community's comments for the second draft. And September, we'll bring those back to you in September. October, we are planning to have the public hearing. The goal is to adopt the plans and the code amendments at the same time. We will try and meet that challenge. And then City Council will have a study session in November and December. We're looking at adoption at the end of the year with coming back to you for final in January. So that's it for a presentation. So thank you.
Thank you, Janice.
Have you ever done a neighborhood plan this fast?
No.
No.
We have not.
You have our respect, Janice.
We'll see how far we go. Joan and I are working on this together, and we'll see how that works.
Well, thank you.
So three this fast.
Yes, three.
Well, we got the A team on it, right? So we're in good hands.
Yeah, these guys. I really want to give kudos to Janice and Joan. They send me emails at like 2 o'clock in the morning, midnight, as they're still working on drafts of the plan. So they're working really, really hard on this. And
whoa.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. So next we have the geologically hazardous areas ordinance. I'm going to let Adam take that.
Yeah, just give me a sec to throw this up. Mic is not on. Sorry about that. Thanks. You first saw these code amendments back on March 26th when you met jointly with the Planning Commission. And then we brought back revised code amendments on April 23rd, and you made the comments that were listed on the slide. Councilmember Black, you made some great comments about using may and shall. We had our city attorney take another look at those. We made some refinements. Some modifications were made. Shall is generally used here when the city is obligated to take a certain action under certain circumstances, like when we can approve or deny a project. And then may is used in cases where we might employ that regulation or might not. Like for instance, when we might bond to ensure that geotechnical mitigation measures are implemented. We left in references to the Washington State geologist just to make that really clear what's a qualified professional in the context of geotechnical reports. we clarified that a sufficient subsurface exploration log uses the unified soil classification system and contains details of each geologic unit that's encountered in the exploration. We clarified that seismically induced settlement evaluation could be waived if an applicant can show that construction activities minimize the risk. And then you guys also made another good point, which was to clarify that if there's a peer review that's required, the project actually has to result in ground disturbance on the in the hazard area, that it's not just, does the project site contain a hazard area? So that was a great clarification too. And then City Council took your changes and the Planning Commission's changes and added some additional ones. And the key change from the ordinance that you last saw is that peer review of geotechnical reports is now required under this current version of the ordinance adopted by City Council. Peer review of the geotech report is required in all high landslide hazard areas, not just high landslide hazard areas with 40% or greater slopes. The City Council just felt like that was a good protection that was needed, that all high landslide areas have specific issues that require just a little more attention from a geotechnical peer reviewer. This new code also contains guidance criteria to ascertain when peer review in other areas should be waived. For instance, if best practice engineering is used, that could provide some guidance to waive the requirement for geotechnical peer review. We also define what recent landslide activity means. Recent does not mean the same to you and me as it does to geologists. Recent in the geologic world is the last 12,000 years. So we added that to the code. And then we clarified that the appeal provisions for the items in this geotechnical report or the items in this code are the ones associated with the underlying development permit. Just that was sort of already implicit, but we just wanted to make that clear in the code. And then the City Council adopted the code on June 18th, pending your approval. So assuming we can move ahead with these code amendments, just wanted to give you guys a sense of what we're doing to reach out to the broader community to let them know about this new code language. So we're doing a press release. We're updating our webpage. We're sending notification to our list of neighborhood groups. We have a master builders group that we meet with regularly. We'll send out notice to them. Anybody who indicated they're interested in these geologic code amendments will get an email. And then we're also starting to train development services staff, so that's public works folks, planning and building folks, and others at the city to give them a better sense of how we might actually implement these code amendments. You know, they're not dramatically different from what we had before, but they provide a little more guidance on when geotechnical peer review is required, and hopefully make it easier both on the applicant side and the staff side for knowing what's going to be required of a development project in a tricky area. So with that, our recommendation is that you adopt the resolution in your staff report to approve these amendments. And if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer.
Okay. I want to start by, Neil, did you get a chance to determine if the shalls and maize were properly edited?
I did not, but I trust the lawyers and now the City Council, I think, were.
Wow.
Okay. I didn't know. I wasn't going to go back and redo what the city's attorney had already done.
All right, fair enough. And John, I know that a majority of these were points that you had brought up. I'd like to see whether you're comfortable with the modifications.
The only one I've got some issues just on the peer review because of the cost involved in that. Because the applicant basically pays them twice. That's the one I probably, yeah. But I do have two other questions.
Let's go.
Adam.
Yeah.
Did the City Council implement a timeline for implementation?
So the standard, to my knowledge, is 5 days after adoption of the ordinance for these to go into effect. And you know, it'll take us some time to actually get, we're going to be creating an RFP to get a list of consultants that can undertake peer review of geotechnical reports. We're not getting a ton of applications right now for projects in these extremely tricky areas, so we anticipate having a little bit of time to get the RFP out, hire some consultants to undertake the peer review, and then undertake our education efforts as well with the broader community.
So that was the next question. Mm-hmm. Who will be doing the peer review? And I'm assuming it will be the same consultant always doing peer reviews. So that will exclude them from doing geological work within the city of Kirkland.
Yeah, I mean, we're still working on the RFP. We're hoping to have more than one consultant just to not create a monopoly on doing peer reviews. So we're hoping to have three geotechnical firms that will be doing peer review of reports that are coming in. Obviously, they won't be able to peer review their own reports, right? So there will be some restrictions that will be laid out in the RFP to prevent conflict of interest.
So is your thought process right now that several firms could do peer reviews, mm-hmm. and also work in Kirkland? So if A is doing a peer review and then A does a project in Kirkland, B would simply peer review them.
Right.
I think if you have a group of people that are doing this and peer reviewing each other, I think you'll bring the cost down.
Yeah.
I think you'll bring the expectations up. And I think you'll bring the commonality together on how they do their projects and the quality of work.
Yeah.
As opposed to other jurisdictions that this is our peer review and the bogey's set really high and the hassle coefficient's immense. And
yeah, we definitely want some good competition. And I think the one disqualifier might be where the peer reviewer has worked for a developer, the same developer in the same, in Kirkland. That might be a conflict. So again, we're sort of exploring those issues with the city attorney's office as we draft the RFP. But yeah, to your point, we're hoping to keep the field relatively broad and give folks a chance to pick and choose among peer reviewers.
I actually like that a lot. And then the last question I had was, and I think you said that you're reaching out specifically to geotechnical firms that have done work in Kirkland, but I don't think that's quite how you said it. I want to confirm.
I don't think we would necessarily disqualify a firm for not having done work in Kirkland.
I don't mean for the RFP. Just to reach out and say the code's changed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Neil.
I did feel that the chair of our council might have been a little disappointed in me a moment ago for not having actually reviewed the provisions that may and shall, and I just confirmed that, in fact, they are changed the way I would have changed them. I think the city attorney did a very nice job.
Bravo.
Confirmed.
Well done. Thank you. Okay. Any other questions, comments, concerns from the rest of the council? No? Well, would anyone care to?
I'll sleep better tonight.
We have a staff recommendation to adopt Resolution 2018-4 to approve the amendments to KZC Chapters 85 and 5. Do I hear a motion to that effect?
So moved.
Second.
Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? 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 All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Excellent. Adam, any new business that you want to add to the agenda?
The only new business is I would love to take photographs of all of you both together and separate if you're okay with that at the end of the meeting and you're feeling like you're looking good. Sadly, the last group picture I took, Brian was closing his eyes slightly. I didn't notice it when I looked at the picture, so
I don't take chances.
you can just Photoshop an eye patch on my
computer. I've had some booth parties at Elsie's.
I think I did that too, Adam, didn't I? Didn't I send you a headshot?
I'll check. I didn't think so.
All right.
I didn't
want Kelly to feel like she was alone in that.
In my vanity.
I'm right there with you.
I'm
happy with your
doing it as long as I can veto it before it goes
okay.
on.
Okay.
What's the resolution quality?
No.
Do you have a fuzzy setting?
Put Vaseline on it like they did for Ghost Day.
I think you're all very beautiful people. So, all right. So those are sort of two things. If we can do that at the end of the meeting, that would be great. And then if you can send me biographies as well. Again, Kelly already did. Neil, did you do that as well? Okay, I have a file, but I haven't
tried.
If you can send me a quick bio.
What's the purpose of it?
That's what that
is. The purpose is to, and again, if you don't want to do it, it's fine, but the purpose is to help implement your communications strategy and conform this website, the HCC website, to what we're doing with other commissions and city council as well. It's to basically put a human face on the Houghton Community Council, like just like what we're doing with the Planning Commission and what City Council has already done. Our planning commissioners have submitted bios. They're just really brief. They focus on where they live, which you probably don't have to do, since that's self-evident, and where they work, why they got interested in serving on the Planning Commission. So again, if anybody objects to that, we don't have to include everybody's biography. If the group as a whole didn't want to include biographies, that would be fine too. It just, from our perspective, it seemed like a relatively benign thing that meets the objectives of what you guys are trying to achieve with your communications strategy and outreach. So
I think that's fine.
Sound okay?
I think there's already professional shots and biographies
in the voters pamphlet.
Okay.
From
okay.
when we were elected.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that information's already out there.
Well, but on a voter pamphlet, not on the city website.
Right.
It's a picture.
And I still have on my phone the photographs that we took last time when Neil was new to the council. If you want, I can send
what resolution is it, John?
retracted.
Okay. Anything else?
Are we doing photographs?
Yeah, well,
we're ready. After
the
yeah.
Do you guys want me to use the voters' guide ones?
No.
Okay.
No. They're black and white anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very low resolution.
Yeah.
We'll give it a shot as long as we have the option to veto before it's publicized, right?
Yeah, if you can just hang out at the end of the meeting, I'll take them as soon as I can. And get
as long
your
as my part's
no,
right,
take
I'm
your
okay.
time because we're trying to stretch it out so that Neil has no chance to go to his family dinner.
Oh!
We're still recording.
Adam, before we disperse, will you also take a picture of us all sitting up here?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
For the Facebook page.
You mean individually with our nameplates?
No,
one
like
at a time?
You had it with the big,
oh,
the
yeah.
big
the
macro shot.
Well, I have mine.
I know.
Okay.
Yes, by the way, if we could.
Yes,
a big
John?
Thank you to Adam for getting our name tags
yeah,
sure.
all done.
What's the purpose of the name tags anyway? Is that for like a public event?
Yeah.
In case we forget our name.
It's when you're out and about.
Just yeah. never knowing.
Meeting your constituents.
You walk into a restaurant, they can see you faster.
Yeah, right.
This is the part. Brian, you're saying, and that was a joke.
And that, yeah, that was a joke for the record. We're entertaining our recording secretary more than any meeting that I can recall. We got quite a few laughs from her. Okay, so now we go into the reading and approval of a minutes, starting with our March 26th meeting, joint meeting with Planning Commission. So everybody had a chance to review them, and any additions or corrections? Would someone care to move that we approve those minutes?
I move that we approve the March 26, 2018 minutes.
But you weren't even at the meeting.
Oh. That's all right.
She can still move.
I read them. They look good.
I second.
Would someone else care to make that motion?
Bam.
Well done, Bill.
I wasn't there either.
Yeah, I know.
Oh.
That's how you noticed it.
So second.
As noted in the notes, I was present, and I move to approve the notes from March 26th. The minutes.
Second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. We approve the March 26th, 2018 minutes. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay, and then the April 23rd minutes. Any additions or corrections? Would
anyone care to move for approval?
I move that we approve the April 23rd meeting minutes.
Second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Good. Task force reports.
Discussion on this too.
Yeah. Do we have any task force reports, Adam?
None for me.
Do we have any from our task force? Or
my task force is over.
It's completely over. Okay. Good enough. So administrative reports. We got an orientation manual to take a look
sorry
at.
Yeah, sorry it took so long to get out to you, but it's here finally. There probably will be some updates as the year progresses, and we'll just get those out to you in paper form and redo your packets or redo your manuals. If you have any questions about it, feel free to give me a call.
I'd even go so far as to suggest that between now and our next meeting, I think it'd be helpful that each of us took a moment and maybe a little bit of time and look through it and refamiliarize yourself with it and see if there's anything that you might suggest for improving it.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be that big of a deal to modify a page or two. So,
yeah.
I will say, Adam, that for years I thought it would be nice to have an organizational chart for the city of Kirkland. And 2 weeks ago, there it is. So I have no idea how long it's been there, but nice. I think that's really good.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Where did you find it? The what?
I found it online, and it's in our book as well.
Yep.
Organizational
right
chart.
There.
Perfect.
One thing I'd like to point out, as was noted in April 23rd, about I noted it about the Wi-Fi in the council chambers.
Yeah.
It's once again not
working.
Since the beginning of the meeting.
Okay. And you're using the Kirk Wi-Fi?
Kirk Wi-Fi works, but the council chamber doesn't.
Yeah, so the council, use the Kirk Wi-Fi one is what our IT department told us. The council chambers one is they do turn off occasionally. I think it's intended to be used for like remote presentations or something like that, but the Kirkland Wi-Fi account is the one that you should use. And
okay.
They said it doesn't turn off. It should be usable. I've used it during long city council meetings, and you occasionally do get booted off, but you should be able to get back right back on. So
okay.
Let me know if that becomes a problem using that one, but that should be a good one to use. Yeah.
All right. And then, Adam, you added a comments from the audience at the end of the meeting, which is something we've not done in the past, and I know that's what the Planning Commission does, so I don't – is this something that – you guys want to have as part of our standard agenda is give the opportunity both at the beginning and the end of the meeting for audience comments?
Sure. I'm going to say I kind of like it because maybe we've discussed something that somebody like has sat all the way through and said, I want to comment about what you said.
Dilly dilly.
Okay. So we're good with that. The other thing that I noticed is that you've omitted – we have always had an opportunity for council member comments and reports, and I'd like to see that in this agenda. And so I'm going to ask if anybody has anything for tonight's meeting that you'd like to either comment on or report on. Yes, Kelly.
I just think we should acknowledge the Houghton 50th anniversary celebration.
I was
going to
do that if somebody else didn't. Yeah.
And I sitting here, and I meant to email you. I regret that we didn't ask Lisa and Larry to come tonight so we could thank them and do something because they did a great job.
Next time. Yeah. Let's do that next time.
Yeah. I think that would be worthwhile. They really put a nice party together.
The next 50th anniversary?
Yeah, the irony is they sent us
a thank you, which we didn't respond to.
I did. But,
yeah.
I said the thanks are to you. You guys put on a great event.
And I sent an email to Lisa, but,
yeah.
They did a really nice job.
Yeah.
I really like the way they celebrated both Houghton and the history, but also since it was the 50th anniversary of the annexation, they really celebrated, Houghton as part of Kirkland.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And council, members of the city council were there.
Yeah.
And just, it felt like a nice celebration of Houghton and Kirkland and working together, which is something I know, I appreciate as a new member of the council, how hard this council works to work with the Planning Commission and the city. I thought it was great.
All the way around.
Yeah, it was fun seeing the elders there,
Yeah.
so great.
Are you talking about Rick?
I'm talking about me.
The only regret I have is that of all years for the Houghton community to have had an entry in the parade, the 4th of July parade,
oh.
This was the year. It's our 50th anniversary, and God, we couldn't even put together some sort of an entry in the parade on our 50th. And in hindsight, I'm just kicking myself.
Yeah.
We really, really should have done something. And so,
next
lost
year?
Opportunity, but
51?
We could have a go next year.
I think it should be a big can of worms float, maybe.
You like the can of worms?
Yes.
I'd like to point out that it next 4th of July, I believe, it will still be within the 50th year.
Ooh.
You know, that is an outstanding point. If that is, if that's correct, I love it. I'm not sure it's correct, but if it is, that's a great idea. It would be in the 50th year, wouldn't it? It wouldn't have gotten to 51 yet.
We should put a lawyer on that and see if we can't figure out some way to squeeze our 50th anniversary in.
I nominate Neil.
I need help, though, figuring out the source documents for such a thing.
Well, you know what?
It should be in our binder.
It should be right here.
Yeah. So that's a great point. So let's make that a goal for next year, you guys.
Okay. And to pile on that, I'm hoping, Adam, that the city will reach out to the Neighborhood Association for their collateral material that they produced as a traveling show and perhaps have it in the front case at the city here. And
maybe eventually some of it in the Houghton Room.
Some of it in the Houghton Room, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there was a lot of great stuff.
Great.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
Yeah.
So should we invite them to our next meeting then?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think so.
Could we do that? Put that on the calendar?
Yeah,
and
sure.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, go ahead. We're still in the member comments.
I actually have one additional comment. The chair and the vice chair can stop me if this is not appropriate. But I actually had a question, a general question about city planning and land use. That came up in John's comments that I don't think were relevant at that moment, but for a discussion among the council, I wouldn't mind hearing John's response. He mentioned that group homes in Bellevue have been, I think the word you used was disaster, but don't let me put words in your mouth, but caused some serious issues. And I wanted to understand that a little bit better. So maybe our council can bring your perspective to bear on future decisions we may be involved in. What specifically did you mean by that?
In Bellevue, in the neighborhood, which is actually in South, which is in Bellevue, South Bellevue's Community Council purview, the land values are such that they're in one neighborhood, 9 homes have been purchased, bless you, torn down, and a new home put in their stead. It was permitted as a single-family home, clearly looks like a multi-family unit, and they were designed to house 6 separate families, which met the 19, I believe it's the 19, and Adam, you may have to double check this with the statutes. I think it met the 1968 statutes for what a family is. It's 6 non-related members, children under 18, and handicapped people don't count. So these homes were specifically targeted to individuals with children to move in and stay. They don't know each other. There's no commonality. There's no singularity of focus on how they live their lives. It's an apartment building in the middle of a single family neighborhood. And I view that very, very differently as somebody who owns a house and rents it to 3 college students. 3 college students have a singularity of purpose. They have a commonality generally in age. They're not separate, complete different families that move into a home that have no commonality within themselves. The parking. You know, it's just a two-car garage that immediately became another rec room. One kitchen, so each family had a bedroom. They share a kitchen. They have multiple recreation spaces in the house. And it all fit under the 68 statute. Bellevue Council had, they changed the rule. I think they went to 4 unrelated families could do this. But all these fit in the guidelines under some of the statutes and the housing stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's worse than somebody taking their single family home and having it be a bed and breakfast and somebody new all the time. Because at least those people are in and out. There's one car, there's one driveway.
So what's the biggest concern? Is it the traffic that's generated or just density that, how many houses were taken out?
Just one.
Just,
yeah.
Wait, I thought you said six houses were taken out.
No, one house was taken out. One house was put in instead, but it was designed to hold six families. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, have there been any adverse consequences so far?
I chatted briefly with the city of Kirkland, one of the city of Kirkland's code enforcement officer, and he said that he's heard of a couple of these North Kirkland.
In our purview,
the land values are such, I don't think these are going to pop up.
How are they affecting the neighborhood, though?
Yeah.
Well, you have, they're targeting generally to offshore people. There's one a block away from my office. It's a birthing house. New people show up all the time. You see them walking in the neighborhood, people holding 2 or 3 kids' hands, and all day long they just roam the neighborhood. There's 7, 8, 10 cars. They park in the lawn.
So it's the parking.
It's essentially that's not what a single family neighborhood is. It's not what a single family neighborhood was intended. I'm not saying there's not a need for that kind of housing.
Yeah.
But where it's located, it shouldn't be in the heart of a single family neighborhood. Yeah. And can you imagine trying to sell your house next to that? I mean.
John, is that truly a group home? I always thought a group home was like individual rooms for people that are like mentally challenged or something like that.
There's an awful lot of group homes where people get together, and there's, a commonality of focus, and they want to live together, and great.
So this isn't called an anything. It's just called a house.
It's a house. But it's a single-family house.
And the owner doesn't live there, or he does?
Nope.
The owner doesn't. It's
nope.
But they did this all under a statute that's called group homes?
No. It was under the equal. It's all part of the equal rights stuff that was passed in 68. It's buried.
It falls within the definition of a single-family home, is what John's saying.
Okay, yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And I know the Planning Commission in Bellevue went through it ad nauseum. In fact, if you really want to know more about it, having one of the former Planning Commission people come and tell us about what they did might be the best way to do it.
Yeah.
But I just know that it's a problem. And I personally saw it because one of them's just a few doors down from my office.
Can we ask staff if they're Adam? Is the city cognizant of this issue?
Yeah, And what I'll do is we have an FAQ that we created. A couple months ago for related to complaints that we were getting about a group home. I forget exactly where it was actually.
Could you send us a link?
I'll send you. Yeah, what I'll do is I'll send you a link to the FAQ, and it goes into some detail about the fact that our hands are somewhat tied related to group homes, as John, you referenced, by federal fair housing laws. So we're very, very restricted from regulating them in single-family districts or other residential districts. I'll send you the FAQ, and I think you'll find it useful, and we can have a discussion about it maybe at a future meeting if you want some more information about it.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, there's actually a multifamily home in Central Houghton. It's on, I believe the address is 6317 114th Avenue Northeast. So it's above the international school up by the interstate. And it's several apartments, I think, or several units. I don't know if that was built then.
Well, I don't think there's, it might be an old enough building that was before some of the regulations.
Maybe.
Because next door to my house is a triplex, a non-conforming triplex. Yeah.
Okay.
I would think that you could regulate things like parking, though, parking and noise, right? I mean, those are things that...
Yeah, and I know if Adam knows about it, then maybe it's hit the city council level. I know that Stephanie Walters was one of the planning commissioners that dealt with it. Is her tenure on planning commission is not up, and she's also now on the Bellevue Community Council, East Bellevue Community Council, so she's on full.
Kelly, you said that you started to raise your hand.
Oh, off this topic. July 30th, 1968.
So right on.
Cool.
We're good.
So, in fact, this 4th of July would have been too soon.
Too soon. It would have been 49.
Brian, you're a genius.
Genius.
I'd like that to be on the record, please.
I should hire you as an associate.
And I'd like you to send a copy to my wife.
Okay, well, with that, I'm going to declare a meeting adjourned. Stick around for a group photo.
All right, guys.
We're supposed to stay where we're at, right?
Yep.